So we're getting closer to Easter. We're going to continue as we go through this Lenten period of preparation for Easter to talk about what it means. What does the Bible have to say about us about giving up, self-denial, right? The focus of Lent is all about giving something up to focus more fully on Christ. And we've been exploring this in several ways. We've been considering several perspectives on the way God calls us to set aside our own desires in exchange for what he wants for us. A few weeks ago, we planted seeds. Those seeds that you now see growing in the entryway are a symbol of our commitment to give up our lives for Christ and embrace the new life that he offers us. And we saw examples of this life of transformation that God invites us into. We see it through Jesus' life and death and resurrection. We see it in God's creation as plants and animals mature through a cycle where they give up one form and in essence dying up to their self of that old form and rising again to new life in a new form. It's all throughout God's creation. And so it's no wonder he invites us into that as well. We've considered that living by faith in Jesus requires us to release faith in other things that we trust in, things that many aspects in this world are going to tell us we ought to trust in. But when we know who Jesus is, we know what God offers us, we know that what he offers is better than anything else in this world, and so we're able to release those things and trust in him instead. And last week we talked about how God has given us some incredible gifts. He's given us all skills and abilities. He's given us his Spirit and empowers us through his Spirit. He's given us gifts of grace and mercy and patience. Those are wonderful gifts, but they're not just meant for us to enjoy for ourselves. We're supposed to be good stewards of those things, to use them for God's glory by sharing them, putting them to use, and investing in God's kingdom to produce a return on this investment that he's placed with us. And so today, I'd like to take a closer look at one of those gifts, the gift of God's love. The love of Jesus is the model for us to follow in the kind of love that God wants us to share with this world, with all those around us. So let's open up together to John chapter 15. We'll start there today. So we take a look at the kind of love that Jesus shows us. John chapter 15. I'm going to start right in verse 1, and these first few verses are just kind of an intro to what we're going to be exploring today. Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he trims clean so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself, but it must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." I'm going to stop right there and just going to pause for a moment and just reflect on a couple of things that he says. Jesus talks about remaining in him or abiding in him in certain translations. What really struck me was two things that he said in this first couple of verses. He says that you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. And I think this is an important thing for us to remember about life and faith. Now, in this specific instance, Jesus is referring back to chapter 13 in John, where Jesus and his disciples are gathered together for this Passover meal, his Last Supper. And he takes the time to wash his disciples' feet. He talks to them about being clean. And Peter says to Jesus, "Don't just wash my feet, wash my whole body." And Jesus talks to him a little bit about that moment, about how his body's already clean, but his feet need to be clean. And there's an understanding in what Jesus is telling the disciples here is that because of him offering his life to us, we are already clean spiritually before the Father. All of our sins have been forgiven. And I think that's really important to emphasize again. So often we, like Peter, look at our lives and we see all the mess and we think that just completely removes us from the graces of God. But we are already clean because of Jesus, not because of anything we have or have not done, but because of Jesus. Certainly, we all continue to fall short of God's glory. We all revert back into sinful attitudes and actions. But none of that erases what Jesus has done. We are already made clean in the sight of God because of Jesus' sacrifice. And it's important to remember that in everything that we talk about. Once you put your faith in Jesus and confess that you are a sinner, receive that forgiveness that he offers, you are clean in God's eyes. Nothing you can do will change that. So we can stop looking back at our life in judgment about anything you've done wrong. God doesn't look there anymore. It's good to admit to our sins. It's good to renew our commitment and to make new choices in the future. But we don't have to keep dragging our past forward as though it defines us, as though that is who we are to God. No. In God's eyes, you are pure and holy because of Jesus, and nothing we can do can change that. And once we've recognized that, once we have received that gift from God, we can bring glory to him with our lives. And this gets to that point of being good stewards with what God has given us again. Jesus talks in this passage about bearing good fruit for him. And in verse 8, chapter 15 in John, he says this. He says, "This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples." And that really struck me as I was reading and preparing for today. We talk about bringing glory to God in our lives. What does that mean? What does that look like? Well, Jesus says it right here. To give glory to God means that you bear fruit for him. That we go out into this world and we serve as good stewards to him, producing more of what he has produced in us. That is how we can best glorify God. Now, as we continue reading on, Jesus begins to talk about his love. And his love is central to this idea of remaining and abiding in him and producing fruit in the world. It's an important theme throughout the Bible, God's love for us that Jesus demonstrates. So let's read beginning in verse 9 of chapter 15 now. He says, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do as I command." And so Jesus calls us into a deeper understanding of abiding, to love each other as Jesus has loved us. And then he talks about how he has loved us with this expression of love in being the greatest love being one where you lay down your life for your friends. This is what Jesus demonstrated for us. He didn't die for himself. He didn't do it to get something from us. He did it as a sacrifice to give something to you and I. That's the greatest demonstration of love, that you're giving of yourself for the sake of someone else. This sacrificial kind of love is the greatest gift of love that can be given. And this is the example Jesus has given us for how to love one another, a love that gives sacrificially rather than taking for ourselves. Many of the popular ideas about love are centered on what we get, how we feel, how we benefit from the other people. But Jesus turned that around and said, no, true meaningful love is giving up something of yourself for the sake of others. Now, Jesus could have come into the world and rightly made all kinds of claims for himself, trying to draw people to him. He could have defended himself as a righteous person, not deserving any kind of the punishment and rejection that he received. He could have claimed his divine authority to rule over all people. Or he could have claimed the right to judge all of us guilty of sin and unworthy of being in his presence. These are truths he could have easily stood on. But instead, he set all of that aside and chose to show us love. Show love for a sinful mankind by giving up his life and paying for our sins. This is something that he chose to do because he saw the good it would do for us if he gave up his life. Now, I'm going to pause for a moment and just share a short video with you that it's kind of a fun video that it demonstrates just what we're talking about, the love that Jesus gave us and what that does for us for eternity. So let me go ahead and show that video.
Next. File, please. Some lying, some stealing, and some acts of kindness here and there.
I tried to live a good life.
Well, let's see how good. This way. Next. Bio, please.
Okay, I admit it. I did a lot of bad things.
Yes, I see.
But I've done good things too, you know, to offset the bad things. Like one time I cheated on a test, but then I cleaned up trash in the park.
Mm-hmm.
That should balance out, right?
Let's find out. This way.
That should have balanced out, right? It should have balanced out.
Next. Bio, please. Impressive.
Oh yeah, I devoted my entire life to make this world a better place. I dug wells in Africa, I donated blood every month, and I ran an orphanage in India. I mean, I just wish I could have done more.
Mm-hmm. And is this your subscription?
I only read the articles. I only read the articles!
Next.
My mom goes to church.
I was baptized as a baby?
Take American Express, right?
Next. File, please. Whoa. Somebody's been busy. Well, let's get this over with. Sorry, I didn't know he was with you. Okay, step on the scale. Not you. Him.
Hey, wait a minute. That is totally not fair.
That's why it's called grace. Next.
Do a really great job of capturing it. It's very humorous the way they did it, but I think they do a great job of capturing all the different ways that we think we ought to be able to earn our way to God, right? But the reality is none of that matters because of God's love for us and what he offered us through Jesus. And truly, Jesus has stepped in to take the punishment that we deserve for our sins. We understand that we are sinners. We are deserving of God's punishment, but God decided to put his love above judgment to offer us the freedom, the forgiveness, the acceptance that comes from being made pure and clean. And it can be really hard for us sometimes to set aside our thoughts, because we're immersed in it in a world about how our actions and how our choices affect our standing or the standing of anyone else around us. We look at other people's lives and we see what they're doing and we want to quickly judge whether they are deserving of love or not. But God set all of that aside to love us unconditionally. Let's take a look at what Paul writes about this love of God in Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. Paul writes, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And I've always found that to be such a powerful description of the love of God. You can imagine that someone might possibly give up their life for a good person. But rarely will you ever see somebody die on somebody else's behalf. But God not only died for good people, he died for sinners. That every one of us, every person in existence, has sinned against God, who is deserving of God's judgment, and God decided to set that judgment aside and give his life on our behalf, to take the penalty upon himself, right? He not only just died as a demonstration of his love, that death was actually him taking the penalty we deserve for our sin upon himself. He did this so that we could be made pure in God's eyes, so that we could be free of our past, so that we could have fellowship with God and enjoy the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and so that we could know every minute of every day that we are not alone, that we have not been rejected because of what we have done, but rather embraced by the Lord. To know that he is always with us, and to that we can be empowered and inspired to live a new life in him. It's such an incredible gift that we've been given. It changes lives every day. And Jesus calls us to love in the same way that he loved, to love freely and sacrificially, knowing that his love will never run out for us. Another example of Jesus expressing that this call to love of he as he has loved is found in Luke chapter 6. Let's turn over to that as well this morning. Luke 6, verses 27 through 36. Luke 6, starting in verse 27. Jesus says, "But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you." That's a key statement right there. Do to others what you would have them do to you, not what you think they deserve for what they've done. Do to others what you would have them do to you. He says, "If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, lend to them without expectation of getting anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful." Those are powerful words. I really stop to think about how we live this love out. Jesus makes some stark contrast there. He says, what good is it? What credit is it for you to love those who already love you? That's easy, right? It's easy to lend to someone if you know they're going to repay you. There's no risk in that at all. So is it truly loving? Not really. It's just normal everyday life. God wants us to choose to love as Jesus loved, to provide a love that does not depend on the other person's actions at all. So often the love that we have for other people is reactive. It depends on what they say and do. Depends on how we feel about the things that they're doing or how they respond to us. Sometimes it depends on how we think about what they believe, what they think, how they are affecting us. If we don't like these things about them, or if we feel threatened, or we feel rejected, or we feel persecuted, we respond with our own rejection against them. Or sometimes we respond with anger and criticism and judgment. It's a natural reaction, honestly. There's a defensive part of that. And part of that, I think, God has built into us. There is a protective side to this because this is a sinful world. We do get hurt. And we do have to have some way of protecting ourselves from dangers that can happen in this world. I'm aware as I'm calling us to obey Jesus' command to love as others love, that there are situations where we can be physically, emotionally damaged by other people in this world. It's a sinful world. It's a dangerous world. And God has given us discernment to know when we need to put up certain boundaries to protect ourselves. But none of that actually ever means that we need to stop loving another person. Even in the worst situations, even if you can't interact with someone, you can't be around them, you can still make the choice that Jesus made to love them, even if it's from a distance. Because loving someone begins with deciding to believe that there is hope for every person, no matter how far from God they might be, no matter how unkind, no matter how dangerous they might be right now. There is hope that God could change them. Loving begins with a choice to believe that every person matters to God and that God can transform every life. Choosing to love means setting aside judgment, even judgment that's rightly deserved, just as Jesus did for us. When we know we're right to call someone guilty, when we know that they ought to be condemned for their actions, God asks us to show love and grace, to give them a new opportunity so that their life is not defined by what they've already done, but what is possible through God in the future. Choosing to love is asking God to show us, to show that person his love and grace, and being willing, if God asks you to demonstrate that love to that person in some way. So we're called to love even those who hate us, believing, as Jesus did about us, that we are not defined by our sins, that there's always hope for tomorrow, that what that person needs most is what we've all needed most. To know that we're not alone, that we're not defined by our past, that God has accepted us and is willing to walk with us through life. Now, loving doesn't mean you embrace and accept all things. Jesus certainly doesn't embrace our sin, but he's willing to forgive it, even pay the penalty for it out of his own blood, because he saw something greater in us. He knows that he can provide a means for us to pursue a new life. And he wants us to be able to offer that opportunity to others. When you think about how Jesus loves us, you can see how he set aside everything about what we've done to him. He set aside all of our choices, all of our beliefs, all of our actions. He set aside all of our sin, the way we've hurt others, the way we've rejected God. He set aside every bit of evidence he could use against us to declare us guilty and wicked people. And he chose to love us instead. He chose to see good in us beyond what we're capable of demonstrating right now. And he did what only he was capable of doing, providing us an opportunity to be made clean in God's sight and to make new choices, to live in a new way in the future through his Spirit. And I think this is really captures the essence of the sacrificial love we're called to. It's about making a choice to see the potential good in everyone, being willing to set aside judgment for now. God will come and judge the world one day. He judges every human life according to his justice. And so he's asking us today to set aside judgment and to love instead, to being willing to give others an opportunity to have God work in their life, to let them know that they are loved by the Lord. Now, loving someone like this can sometimes feel as we're just letting people get away with stuff and walk all over us. It really does feel that way sometimes. But there's an important difference between an attitude like that that just allows all things and the love that Jesus shows us. And to explore that a little bit, I'd like to turn to one more passage, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. This may be a passage that's familiar. It's a very common passage to quote, but because it has such powerful words in it. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. It says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." That's the call once we've known Christ, to just keep pursuing righteousness. Even though we have been forgiven and made clean, we know that there's changes we want to make to our life, and we're called to persevere in that. And then we read on, verse 2, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." It can be easy, honestly, to lose heart and to grow weary in showing God's love in this world. It can feel like an endless battle against the sinfulness of this world. It can feel like we're not getting anywhere. Or as I said, it can feel like people are just walking over us and getting away with anything, using our love as an excuse to continue in sin. And certainly that does happen at times. But what I see when I read that Jesus fixed, or excuse me, let me read it again. When we're called to fix our eyes on Jesus, Jesus endured the cross for the joy set before him. What I see in there is that Jesus did not just lay down his life and let people do whatever they wanted to him. Jesus is certainly not saying in this moment, "I'm going to love you and you can just do whatever you want to me. I'm just giving in and giving up." This is not an act of weakness or meekness. This is an act of strength. Jesus stepped forward to the cross. He made an intentional choice to allow this to happen to him. He could have stopped it at any moment, but he didn't. He was not forced to do this. He chose it. He chose to endure the cross and its shame. And why did he do it? Because of the joy set before him. He looked beyond the cross at the good that this action, this sacrifice would make. He saw how his sacrifice would result in freedom and enduring hope and new life for billions of people over countless generations. And he said, "Yes, I will do this for their sake." That is an act of strength and power. And this is what Jesus is asking us to do as we serve as his witnesses in this world, to make the choice to see beyond the sinfulness around us, to see beyond the negativity, the hurt, the rejection, the division, the brokenness that we see in the world, and to see the possibilities that God offers. To see that hope that lives in Christ, and to do all that we can to make it available to others. Can we see the joy set before us of what God could do in people's lives if they knew the love of Jesus and the strength of the Holy Spirit? Would we be willing to make sacrifices? Would we be willing to endure hardship for the joy of that end result? Transformed lives. That's how God's asking us to live in this world. And can we do that knowing already that we are never separated from the love of God in Christ Jesus? He is always with us. He is always going to fill us with his presence, with his love. He will never forget us. He will never leave us. Are we willing to make sacrifices of ourselves for the sake of others, knowing that we lose nothing? This world is full of concerning things. There is violence, hatred. There's division and persecution everywhere. People will make life difficult for others. And they will reject those who serve as Jesus' witnesses. Actually, if I turn back to John 15, Jesus addressed this with his disciples. I'm going to find it quick. Go back to John 15. I'm going to turn to verse 18 to begin with. I'll give you a couple seconds to get to that if you're looking for it. If the world hates you, he says, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. And I can stop right there. Jesus makes it clear to his disciples that when you turn to him rather than embrace the ways of this world, you will face persecution. You will be rejected. He doesn't offer to fix it. He just says, yeah, that's the way it is. That's how they treated me first. It's okay. Let's not reject the world because they reject us. Let's do what Jesus did and love them, embrace them, show them what a difference Jesus can make. We are among the people of this world who are deserving of God's judgment. But we have discovered this amazing truth and this wonderful gift that Jesus came and decided to put judgment off and offer us a different way of life. A way that comes through enduring love, sacrificial love. He died for us, gave his life for us, still today offers himself to us every single day to give us strength, to give us hope and encouragement. And he says, to love others as I have loved you. So the question for us today is, are we willing to love those around us the way Jesus loved us? When we do, we will see amazing things happen in people's lives. It may take patience, it may take endurance, but God does incredible work. We've all experienced it ourselves. Begins with a choice to love as Jesus loved. May we be the kind of people that God has placed in this world to be vessels of his love for the joy that comes when people put their faith in Christ. Let's pray and give thanks to God for his love and ask him for the strength to show that same love to those around us. Lord God, so often it doesn't make sense to us the way you've called us to live. The way this world works is often built on judgment, punishment. We feel that that's the way to produce change, but you showed us an amazing new way. You showed us how transformation can come through love and grace and mercy. Thank you for that gift that you've given us, Lord, for the way you continue to offer it us day after day after day. We thank you for who you've made us to be and for the opportunity we have every day to live for you. We pray that you would help us, your people, to demonstrate that same kind of love in this world. May we see the impact that has. May we see lives change as we choose to love as you have loved us. In Jesus' name, amen.